Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. There's a lot of things we could be talking about. The Democratic National Convention, the riots, Kamala Harris as vice president. But every year at this time, in view of the coming school year, I do a program about public schools, which are aptly called by conservatives government schools. And the surprise for this year is that many public schools will be closing, allegedly out of concern over COVID-19 contagion. Now, this is not such a big deal, except for the fact that there is a big political, moral, social dimension behind all of these closings. And for the next half hour, I hope I can break down some of this for you. But let me start off by laying out the basic problem with our public school. If you haven't noticed, evangelicals are not cheerleaders for the government school system. In fact, most conservatives would love to privatize the entire American education system. Why? Well, from a pragmatic point of view, they're too expensive for what you get, and public schools have an unfair monopoly over private education. But the main reason is that the Bible, and hence Christian ethics and teaching, have been banned from public schools. In Ingalls versus Vital, 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that it's unconstitutional to have prayer in public schools. In 1963, the Supreme Court ruled in Abington Township versus Shemp that Bible reading or teaching in public school is unconstitutional. With a secular bias, the courts emphasized in our First Amendment that the state should not establish a religion over the clear requirement that the state should not prohibit the free exercise thereof. Our religious freedom was taken away by the courts. So from that moment on, our public schools have become godless. God was expelled from our schools. And this is more than just an educational issue. Our country was challenging God by saying we can raise up wonderful, educated, upright students without God. And how do you think that challenge is going to turn out? How do you think atheistic, communist institutions always turn out? They die when they're unplugged from God. Do you think God is going to say, well, you've thrown me out, but I'm going to bless your program anyway, so that the whole world sees that man doesn't need God? No, the public schools will become another example of what happens when men abandon God. In the 15th century, Martin Luther wrote, "I advise that no one place his child where the scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the word of God must become corrupt." And they will become increasingly corrupt, and the word of God will not be proven wrong. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, "The wicked will be returned to Sheol, even all nations who forget God." This includes all institutions and all families. And Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 24, "Therefore, I will scatter them like drifting straw to the desert wind. And this is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood." And when the word of God was thrown out, it could be said that God pronounced a curse on our public school system. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Or how about Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15? "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, rebuke, in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed, and until you perish quickly, on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me." And this applies to education and educational institutions. You know, it's no small thing that our public schools have banned the Bible and Christian teaching and Christ. It will mean that public schools will become a timeless, historic example of what happens when a people reject God and truth. Furthermore, from a Christian worldview, if there is no God in education, there really is no education. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God and Christ give meaning and purpose and motivation to all education. And without God, eventually, why even have education? Why not revert to some primitive state of barbarianism? The removal of God from public schools is the removal of the very foundation upon which education rests. And what we're seeing now in the closing of public schools, even over this coronavirus, is really a byproduct of this deeper spiritual abandonment of God. So let's take a moment and look at the situation. By April of this year, every public school in America was closed over fears of the coronavirus. But now, given the CDC's own report that young people are not at serious risk of the Wuhan flu and they're not carriers, the response back in April appears to have been overblown, especially in so many states that had such few cases. But at that time, people feared that they may be dealing with something like the Black Death. But now, what are public schools going to do about the fall? The Orange County, California Board of Education has sued the governor of California for proposing that schools reopen in the fall. The teacher unions for the LA school district, one of the largest in the nation, has demanded that schools stay closed in the fall. In New York City, like most cities, schools will reopen, but only in part. There are all sorts of plans for smaller classes, social distancing, reduced school hours, plans for students to learn remotely at home. Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio are in a fight about how to reopen schools. And the teacher unions in New York City are calling for schools to stay closed. The mayor wants schools opened. The teachers want them closed. Quote from one article, New York City's public school teachers are calling for schools to remain closed come fall and remote learning to continue, citing safety concern for students and staff members if they reopen during the coronavirus pandemic. The UFT Solidarity Caucus for the United Federation of Teachers, UFT Union, announced Sunday it was calling for support to oppose Mayor Bill de Blasio reopening plan and to push for a full remote start to the school year. We truly believe there is too much at stake to reopen school buildings for in-person learning. We have had terrible instances of spikes of COVID in countries like France and Israel. Also in a USA Today article, there was a state-by-state listing of what each state plans to do about reopening. Most states are opting for a hybrid plan, reduced school hours, and providing home learning online. Many states are actually requiring schools to give students the option of remote learning online. In my own New Jersey township, schools will only be opened for half a day a week, and the rest of the coursework will be done online. And the complaint from many residents is that they're putting in a half day just to give some justification for all the expenses of keeping the schools open and the staff salaried. Here's an article in PJ Media. Schools going to hybrid models are cheating taxpayers. I want my money back. Quote, the public school is being led around by teacher unions that somehow got the schools to agree to paying teachers full-time salaries for part-time work. What a scam. Now, I've been talking to quite a few people, to quite a few teachers trying to figure out what's going on here. Why are they really trying to keep the schools closed? Is this really about coronavirus fears, or is there something else at work? And I've come up with three possibilities. Number one, fear. Number two, laziness. And number three, and/or a political weapon. Your choice. Number one, fear. I am hearing from teachers and those who know teachers that there is a real fear out there concerning the virus. New York Times article, I don't want to go back. Many teachers are fearful and angry over pressure to return. Teachers say crucial questions about how schools will stay clean, keep students physically distanced, and prevent further spread of the virus have not been answered. Also, a New York Times opinion piece, I won't return to the classroom, and you shouldn't ask me to. Please don't make me risk getting COVID-19 to teach your child. New York Post article, New Jersey School District says 375 teachers won't return to classroom due to COVID-19. A Northern New Jersey School District says opening for in-person classes has become a mathematical impossibility, with 375 teachers refusing to return to the classroom, according to the report. The Elizabeth School District Board voted to begin the school year remotely since coronavirus fears would keep too many teachers home from school. As of Monday, 375 teachers have notified the district that they cannot report to work inside a school building in September due to health-related issues. So there would be insufficient staff to open safely in person with so many teachers unavailable for in-person instruction. Here's a NewJersey.com article. It's unsafe to reopen schools. Don't do it, says New Jersey Union, representing 12,000 teachers. One of the state's largest teacher unions is asking New Jersey to call off its plans to reopen school for instruction next month, saying the risk to students and staff is too high. The Essex County Education Association, which represents 12,000 teachers in one of the state's largest counties, released a letter Friday to the state and county lawmakers calling for a return to all remote learning for all public schools. Here's a CNN editorial. I teach in public schools. I love my students. I don't want to die. Here's a Newsweek article. Teachers in Texas writing their wills. Also, Jennifer Rubin writes in the Washington Post, sending our kids back to school is killing them. Now, the reason I took the time to point out all of these articles is because there are thousands of articles and editorials in this movement to keep these schools shut down. But again, the science does not support these fears. Here's an article from the CDC, The Importance of Reopening American Schools This Fall. Quote, the best available evidence indicates if children become infected, they are far less likely to suffer severe symptoms. Death rates among school-aged children are much lower than among adults. At the same time, the harms attributed to closed schools on the social, emotional, and behavioral health, economic well-being, and academic achievement of children in both short and long terms are well known and significant. Here's a study from Europe. The infection death rate for COVID-19 for children ages 5 to 9 is 0.0016%. For ages 10 to 19, it is 0.00032%. For the teachers, most of whom are ages 20 to 49, the mortality rate is 0.0049%. Now, in America, these average mortality figures have been dropping because so many more people have been tested, and we're finding out many people have gotten the virus with no severe symptoms. Remember, this is not the Black Death. People are not dying in the streets. Now, these numbers still sound bad. People are going to die of this virus. But then we have to consider the effects of seasonal flu, which teachers and workers have been putting up with for time immemorial. Here's an article that sounds alarming. The coronavirus death rate in the United States is almost 50 times higher than that of the flu. See how they compare by age bracket. So we look into the numbers here, and in ages 5 to 17, flu mortality rate is 0.01%. COVID is 0.03%. Statistically about the same. And in ages 18 to 49, the flu mortality rate is 0.02%, and the COVID mortality rate is 0.02%. It's in the age bracket 65 and above where the mortality rate for COVID jumps up and skews the average for the entire population. So there are all sorts of articles that do criticize comparing the mortality rate of the flu with the mortality rate of COVID. And what's being criticized are those who are saying the flu and COVID are the same thing. Just by looking at some mortality numbers in the past when we've had some very bad flu seasons. And that criticism of those who discount COVID for that reason is valid. You know, it seems reasonable to acknowledge that COVID-19 is more serious and deserves extra precautions, but where do we draw the line? What reasonable risks should we take? Especially when the flu mortality rate and the COVID mortality rate is about the same for those under age 40. Teachers and students have been going to school for centuries, even with the risk of many diseases. And there are just some risks we put up with in life because we have to get on with living. A good case can be made that having school is not as risky as being claimed, and even the CDC agrees. Why are teachers then all concerned about COVID-19 when they were never so concerned about the flu? Well, it has to do with the way the media is reporting this flu, and some teachers are just not aware of the science. You know, I was down at Ocean Grove the other week after the aftermath of that tropical storm we had go through the state, and there were 25, 30 mile an hour winds. It was hot. It was sunny. People were socially distanced, and yet there are people still walking on the boardwalk wearing masks. I just don't believe these people understand biology very well. They don't understand the short lifespan of the virus in the open air. They don't understand the porousness of face masks, given the size of the virus. And there also has to be a moral, spiritual dimension to this fear. You know, I'm finding that Christians are not big on mask wearing and social distancing, and they're receiving criticism from some of these avid mask wearers. And at first one might think, well, maybe it has something to do with Christians believing that God will heal them or that God will protect them. But I don't think it has anything to do with that at all. I don't even think Christians are better at scientific facts. I think it's summed up in Proverbs 28:1, that the Christian worldview will result subconsciously in greater risk-taking. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flees when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. The ungodly will fear things that are not even real. Leviticus 26:17, it says about the ungodly, you will flee when no one is pursuing you. And Psalm 53:5, they were there in great fear where no fear had been. So we learn here that irrational fears will possess those who are not God-centered. Then we read about the righteous in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread? Psalm 46:2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should be changed and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Or Psalm 112:7, I will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Therefore, we are to generally expect in godless individuals and in godless institutions that there will be a greater degree of fear. We're not going to find as many heroes. The attitude of self-sacrifice and courage will be diminished to some degree. It seems to explain some of this movement among educators and unions to keep the school shut down. Now, secondly, it could be a diminished work ethic. That's just a nicer way of saying laziness and lethargy. You know, I freely admit that if it weren't for God and God's truth in my life, and if I were a public school teacher and I could get a paycheck for reduced hours at school or no school at all, I would lean toward keeping the schools shut down if I had a vote on the matter. Being a public school teacher is a good gig. Off all summer, off 1 week in the fall, 1 week in the spring, 2 weeks at Christmas time, teachers conference, all holidays. And now with COVID, you get even more time off. Now, I'm not saying that all teachers feel this way, but this is the nature of fallen man. People are opportunists. They will take advantage of the system. They will game the system at every turn. And that's why there has to be economic incentives in the first place. That's why people have to get paychecks. Otherwise, no one would go to work. And the Christian work ethic is real. God motivates his people to work. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth, And any institution that jettisons God, the Bible, biblical teaching, is going to eventually, someday, lose a work ethic. Because without God, all sorts of ambition and motivation are lost. Now, this is not to say that all public school teachers are lazy. No, there are some hard-working, Christian-based people in the system. But in general, any institution, any family, any nation that abandons God will eventually have a diminished work ethic problem. And this has been a problem in our public schools for quite some time. In a system where there is no competition, where people are forced to pay for services through taxation, the quality and the quantity of the work begins to suffer. And I've talked to many public school teachers who have become Christian school teachers. And they were shocked by how much more work gets done in private Christian schools. You know, it's not just a 9-to-3 job. It's a sacrificial ministry and love for these children. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The world does not have that motive. Now, finally, a third possibility or third reason for this movement to keep the school shut down, it may have something to do with politics. This political agenda to sabotage everything while the Republicans are in the White House, to foment civil unrest, to bring down the economy, to reduce people's quality of life. There are actually people who think this way. And if children start going back to school and all goes well, it will undermine the COVID lockdowns, this narrative being pushed by many politicians, most of whom are on the left. We know these children are not going to be social distancing and wearing masks like they should. And if the schools enforce the rulings that have been placed upon businesses and upon churches, it's going to be a real nightmare in these schools. Churches are only allowed to have 50% capacity, up to 100. Constitutionally, those same rules have to apply to the schools. And if the school cafeterias are open, then restaurants have to be opened. So in short, if the schools reopen, this whole lockdown thing, this four stages of reopening begin to collapse under the weight of its impracticality and double standard. Now, I know it's hard to imagine that there are many individual teachers who, for ideological, political reasons, want to upset normalcy. But there may be a few educational leaders, union leaders, who lean this way, causing them to be pro-lockdown, pro-close-to-school bias. Here's a Wall Street Journal piece. School opening extortion. Teacher unions are using COVID-19 as a political weapon. For most Americans, the coronavirus is a scourge. But teacher unions seem to think it is also an opportunity to squeeze more money from taxpayers and put their private and public charter school competition out of business. That's the only way to read the extraordinary efforts by national and local union leaders to keep their members from returning to the classroom. Last week, the leaders of the powerful American Federation of Teachers declared support for safety strikes if local unions deem insufficient the steps their school districts are taking to mitigate COVID-19. And on Monday, an alliance of teacher unions and progressive groups sponsored what they called a National Day of Resistance around the country, listing their demands before returning to the classroom. These demands include support for our communities and families, including canceling rents and mortgages, a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, providing direct cash assistance to those who are not able to work or who are unemployed and other critical social needs, a moratorium on new charter schools and voucher programs, and a massive infusion of federal money to support reopening by a billionaire tax. So many of these demands have nothing to do with COVID, but socialism and the public school monopoly. There are people with a political, ideological agenda. Psalm chapter 64, verse 5. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who can see them? They devise injustice, saying, "We are ready with a well-conceived plot, for the inward thoughts and the heart of man are deep." So don't underestimate the political motives of some people. So those are just three possible reasons for this movement to keep schools closed. And I'm sure I've irritated some of my listeners, but I'm just telling you what even the mainstream media is reporting as possible explanations. Now, by way of conclusion, the broader issue going on here is that the closing down of public schools in favor of online education is providentially threatening the end of public school as we know it. Most parents aren't going to be paying $15,000 a year per child to have them sit and do nothing for 12 years. And in the providence of God, the coronavirus pandemic, this scare, is showing many parents that they don't need public schools. There are so many better options than having your child locked in public schools for 6 hours when the child is at most getting only 2 hours of real education. You can learn math and science better just using the online Khan Academy than you can get in most public schools. And the internet is changing education. It's making it more independent, and it's freeing it from the control of the few. And the public schools are locked into the old ways of education, spending billions of dollars on busing and feeding and disciplining and housing and babysitting children just to give them a little education. You know, everything I learned in my public school, high school, I could have easily learned in less than 2 years. And then I could have taken some tradesman classes, which would have really helped me in life. 1.8 million children in America are now being homeschooled. And that number is growing every year because parents are finding out that public school education is not that good and not that necessary. I have two families in my church that are now going to be homeschooling in the fall because the schools are not doing their job. They weren't even guaranteeing that the schools will be opening in the fall. And their online education that is being offered by these schools is actually terrible. You might as well just go with a homeschool curriculum. For about $900, parents can buy the BJU curriculum and get all of the books and all of the teaching videos for all subjects. You never get a bad teacher. The teacher never has a sick day. There is no time wasted getting to school, no discipline problems. And all parents need to do is watch and supervise their child. Students can finish a 6-hour school day in just 3 or 4 hours. And students can get a quality K-12 education that is as good, if not better, than the best schools in America. No more of this, my child is in a bad school district. That problem can be completely eliminated with online homeschooling. I mean, you could be living in downtown Newark or downtown Camden in a very bad school district, and you can still get the same education as if you lived in Princeton, New Jersey. Have you heard of pandemic pods or micro schools? Parents are getting together and hiring teachers to tutor their children in one-room schoolhouse-type settings. And these tutors can make six figures. Now, personally, I've been surprised by these teacher unions pushing to keep schools closed because they're undermining their own business. If they were smart, they wouldn't want parents to be looking for alternatives. You know, given the surge in online education, public schools could disappear tomorrow, and parents could still educate their children, and townships could cut their budgets in half, more than half. So maybe this is all good news. Maybe these pandemic fears is just what we needed to begin the end of the public school monopoly on education. These leftist educators don't realize that they have dug a pit, hollowed it out, and fallen into the hole which they have made. Psalm chapter 7, verse 15. You know, for years, the public school establishment has been trying to cancel private schools and homeschooling. And in the end, what happens? Public schools get canceled. Psalm chapter 9, verse 15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made. In the net which they hid, their own foot has been caught. You know, God also uses unanticipated natural things to put to an end ungodly power structures. Just like the Black Plague in the 14th century brought an end to feudalism, medieval communism. The technology of the printing press brought down the power of the Holy Roman Empire. The invention of the car destroyed real estate monopolies in the inner cities. And the invention of the internet broke the power of the network news monopoly. So as far as I'm concerned, the public schools can stay closed as long as possible. Mark Ellis at PJ Media said it well. The bad news, Portland Public Schools will not be reopening in September. The good news, Portland Public Schools will not be reopening in September. It's the conservative conundrum created by the coronavirus pandemic. How to balance criticizing the Democrat-driven, pandemic-blamed, unscientific school shutdowns, while at the same time acknowledging that these same institutions of learning have played a detrimental and corrosive role in terms of eroding patriotic American values among many in the younger generation. As we assail the fact that millions of children are forced to languish at home under orders from dictocrats like Michigan Governor Gretchen Shut 'em Down Artis Whitmer, parked in front of computers with no shared learning, no peer group companionship, no extracurricular activities including sports, is it possible to take solace in the fact that at least the kids are getting a break from face-to-face exposure to the twisted purveyors of anti-American self-loathing and Marxist propaganda, unquote. It's interesting that all of these shutdowns are also happening at the time many public schools are getting to roll out new LGBT curriculum in all subjects. In states like New Jersey and California, this is being mandated by state law. And liberal teachers are now teaching the New York Times 1619 Project to rewrite American history and paint America out to be racist. Here's an article. Illinois Democratic lawmaker says, abolish current history classes in school. They're making society racist. So just as our public schools are going to the far left, they're beginning to lose control and power. And this is a principle I've shared many times before, because as we read in the book of the Revelation, when the Antichrist and his kingdom begins to shoot at the Christians through their front door, they're going to have all sorts of enemies running in their back door. Their own apostasies will reprove them. God will break their strong arm, and the righteous will be exalted. So this is what's happening to our public schools. And it couldn't happen at a better time, and it couldn't happen to a better institution. Thank God for pestilence. Whether the fear is real or overblown, it's accomplishing God's good purposes in this world. So imagine this. 1.8 million children are being homeschooled, and that is a lot of salt and light for the next generation. With 1.8 million children raised under the word of God, it could change our nation. It could change the entire world. And if there's any hope for our nation, if there's anything practically that we can do, it's with this homeschooling and private Christian school movement. All of the leftism we have in America is really due to the godless public education system. And if we are to reverse the course of our nation, it needs to start with how we train the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And this is all so that your days may be prolonged in the land. If we're to obey this command, if we're to diligently teach our children the word of God, the public schools as we know them have to come to an end. And ultimately, this is not just about saving America. This is about having our children live forever in the kingdom of Christ. Thanks for including God and country as just one small part of your discipleship in the word. Don't forget to subscribe, to share, to like, to leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.
Thank you.